All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to SaberSims DFS Office Hours. It is Thursday, May 12th of 2022. The week is flying by for me. Can't believe it's Thursday already here. But I woke up and had one question today as I looked out on the DFS lobbies on the DraftKings and FanDuel here. And my question was, where are the baseball games? It was a little sad to see the baseball DFS lobbies this morning here. We have the early three-game slate. I guess it's technically a four-game slate, but the Houston and Minnesota game doesn't count because of the suspended game there. And then a three-game night slate coming up here tonight. So definitely still some baseball DFS to play. Of course, basketball, playoff basketball DFS as well, which is, has been okay to me this past week here. But I on Thursdays, I always look forward to that big day slate. We didn't really get one today, so I found that a little strange. I assume there's a lot of teams traveling. I know we have a big Friday slate coming up here tomorrow, and then probably a lot going on this weekend as well. But no worries there. Always another day. That's the nice thing about baseball in particular is that there's like always another slate coming at you pretty quickly. So anyway, my name's Jordan. I'm the head coach here at SaberSim. If this is your first time watching or listening to the show, this is a live open Q&A style show where I answer questions from the SaberSim community about SaberSim, about DFS, whatever you guys want to talk about. If you have questions that you want me to answer on this show, you can email us, support@sabersim.com. If you're watching live, you can post your questions into the YouTube chat. And you can also, whether you're watching live or if you catch this as a recording or any other time, you can pop your questions into the Office Hours channel in our Slack community. If you're not already in Slack, there's a link to join in the description of every past show, both the podcast and the YouTube versions of the show, along with a time-stamped list of everything we talk about here if you want to bounce around a little bit. So should be a fun stream here today. We've got a few questions about Saber score versus projected score. Also some of the nuance of Saber score at different slider levels and different sports. So we'll talk a little bit about Saber score here. And then we'll go from there. So we will see what else we've got. I see a couple questions about sim variants, randomness. Quick question about tennis. Chat about tennis real quick again as well. A couple questions about DraftKings, FanDuel notifications, things like that. So let's go ahead. Let's get the app pulled up. Let's get into this here. We'll start answering some questions. I want to start. We're going to bounce around a little bit here because I think there's a good question here to start with. This one's from Mike. And let's hit this one first. Good place to start. He said, I have a few other questions regarding SaberScore and projections. What sports would you lean more towards projections and what sports would you lean heavy on SaberScore? I think once I figure this out, it'll help greatly. Let's talk about SaberScore a little bit. Let's get a build going for a little three-game night slate tonight here. Talk about SaberScore real quickly here. So I want to let this build finish first. I have a habit here, and maybe it's not a bad thing, but on this show, I often will start talking while the build is running. And I think a lot of times what I'm trying to do, there's a reason I'm building the lineups in the first place. And the point I'm trying to make, I feel like, is so much more powerful if I have the build up, but then I get too excited, I get too ahead of myself, start chatting too quickly. So we've got the build done. So let's talk about this. So in the build screen, you see rank by Saber score. This is always the default. There's a couple other options in here as well. Projected score is the one that we're really talking about here, but you can also sort by total lineup ownership and salary. And as well for past slates or in progress slates, you can also sort by actual score, a couple different useful research tools there. But really, if you're actually, if the goal here is to end up with lineups that you're going to enter into your contest, you probably want to stick on Saber score or projected score, and probably generally mostly Saber score. So what is Saber score? If you hover any of these Saber scores on the lineups, it'll give you a little bit of a tool tip. And I think this helps explain. But what this is it's taking into account the upside. And an upside here actually really has a kind of a specific definition. The upside is really how much did this lineup score? How many points, fantasy points, did this lineup score in the set of sims that was used to make it, right? Every single lineup you build with SaberSim comes from a bucket of game simulations from our full set of game simulations we have for every game on the slate. And when we're saying upside, it's really kind of the sim variance component there. How many fantasy points did this lineup score, right? How correlated is it? How correlated are the players in this lineup to one another? That's part of the reason why you'll get these nice big stacks showing up at the top of your SaberScore lineups most of the time. And then ownership as well. What does the ownership of the players in this lineup compare to the average ownership of the other players at those positions? Essentially what that does is if there's two lineups that scored similarly or equally in that sim that was used to make it, let's prioritize the one that's lower owned, right? Fantasy points, lower owned fantasy points in GPPs have more relative value because less other lineups in that contest scored those fantasy points, right? So for all of those reasons, well, actually, before, let me continue here. So projected score ignores all of these, right? Projected score is just going to say what is the highest scoring lineup on average, right? You take the average projections, the data from the entire set of sims, what is the highest scoring lineup on average? Now, important to remember here is the entire lineup pool of 500 lineups is built with these sliders in mind, with the settings in mind. And that's why we typically say in any lineup in your pool is probably viable for your contest you're playing, right? Because they are built with correlation, ownership, and upside in mind already. But because we're building a pool of 500 lineups to allow you the ability to adjust exposures dynamically on step three, we need to come up with a way to sort what the best ones are. And all optimizers, most other optimizers out there typically use projected score just because it's very easy to calculate. But just like average projections for individual players are not very indicative of that player's real upside, judging a lineup by its average projected points is not a very good way to judge that lineup's upside because it doesn't take into account the things that SaberScore does. So all of this is really to say that while you're probably not going to go wrong, I would not say it's going to be killing you to use projected score instead. I would almost always recommend using SaberScore. I use SaberScore basically 100% of the time. I think it can be interesting to look at the highest projected lineups. I think there are certain slates where if I'm building lineups and it looks like I'm really aggressively fading the chalk, or something like that, I might consider looking at projected score. But I think because SaberScore takes into account those other components of upside here, it's almost always best to sort by SaberScore. And to elaborate on that a little bit further, I guess, and in particular of what sports would you lean towards using projected score or SaberScore more, I am the higher my sliders are by default, so that can be because of what sport it is or what kind of slate it is, the more and more I'm probably inclined to use SaberScore. Because as the sliders get higher, right, we are weighting correlation and ownership fade and the sim variance more and more, right? That is going to differentiate the distance between the highest projected lineup and what the highest SaberScore lineup is going to get further and further apart. You get a bigger impact of using SaberScore instead of using projected score. And in fact, and I think there's a question also in the queue here today as well, but in fact, when your sliders are at 0, 0, 0, if you were to build at 0, 0, 0 or use the cache settings or something like that, you should see essentially no difference or no real material difference between the highest projected score and the highest SaberScore lineups. So it's kind of an explanation of SaberScore from the beginning of what it is and why it exists on the very practical level, because I realize this might be a little unnecessary, a little confusing if you're new to SaberSim. I would just stick to SaberScore. There's probably going to be no real EV difference in changing to projected score ever. You're not going to be better served, I would say, by switching to projected score without some other process reason for doing it. So stick to SaberScore. It takes into account correlation. And we'll do a quick demo of this, right? So looking at SaberScore, and it's a 3-game slate tonight, so maybe this isn't the best example, but SaberScore, right, are stack types 5-2, 4-3, 5-3, 3-3-2, 4-2-2. We switch over to projected score, and still pretty decent-sized stacks tonight, I think partly because it's a 3-game slate. But in general, if you run this experience, you do see we get a little bit more of those 3-3-2s. If you did this for like a bigger slate, you'll probably see that, you know, some of those lineups that just project better on average but aren't very good correlated lineups or don't have the right kinds of stack sizes that you want will start to pop up a little bit more. So in baseball in particular, I guess now let me give you a couple last thoughts here on this. Any sport with high correlation, I would probably never use projected score, just straight up. Baseball, hockey, football, high correlation sports, you want those nice stack sizes, you want to float those lineups to the top, stick to saber score. I would not talk somebody out of using projected score if there was a reason you wanted to do it in a lower correlation sport. NBA, golf, MMA, those lineups, you're going to get maybe a little bit more chalky lineups by doing that, but I think it will hurt you a little less to use projected score in sports like that. So anyway, good first question here. Let's kind of continue hit this next question from Mills that is similar to this one here. And he said, if I run an MLB build with 0-0-10, right? So kind of like a research build, and then sort by saber score, why isn't the highest projected lineup number one? And then he said, I won't be able to watch today, so if you can send me. So I think Matt responded to this as well in Slack. Let me read Matt's message because I think it will be more concise than I will here, certainly. He said, saber score incorporates sim upside in addition to correlation and ownership. When sim variance at 10, it's including an upside metric related to the score in the sims. A 0-0-10 build builds the optimal lineup for that individual slate sim, right? So we take one single game simulation of every game on the slate, build the optimal lineup for that slate sim. So the reason why your number one lineup on a 0-0-10 is not the highest projected lineup is because the highest projected lineup is not always the highest actual scoring lineup for a given slate sim, right? That's why the research builds, I think, are super useful, because they give you information about how likely players are to show up in optimal lineups that is far more sophisticated than just trying to figure that out for yourself by looking at the average projected lineups. So that's what a 0-0-10 build. And then there was a comment here as well. Mills had said, so I've seen the same thing in 0-0-10 with cash. Is it something in the background that shows you the highest median versus average or something? So if you run a 0-0-10 or a 0-0-0 build, let's do it real quick for tonight. So cash build, let's build a few of these lineups. You should see no difference between saber score and projected score. I have on occasion seen a very small difference where maybe a lineup is just the slightest bit higher via saber score. So let's look at this. So this is our top lineup saber score. So it looks like we can look at these exposures here, right? So it looks like there's probably one lineup here in the top 20 that's maybe shifting out and in when we change projected score and saber score. If you guys can see that here, let's just look at our top five lineups and see if those change at all. So there's a little bit of a change even in the top five here. But in general, your very top lineups with a 0-0-0 build, projected score versus saber score, should be basically identical. And that makes sense. That fits intuitively to what we know about what these calculations are. So good questions there. Good way to get us started off on the stream here today. Let's go ahead and jump forward. Good opportunity here. I talked about this earlier this week. Init to Binkit had asked about tennis sims. We're working on getting the slates, or not even tennis sims. He's actually asking the opposite. Can we get the tennis optimizer up? We're working on that right now. So our goal is to get tennis slates loaded into the app, so at least you can build with SaberSim as a traditional optimizer with custom projections. But I believe that tennis is one of the next sports that we want to work on actual simulations for. So that is that work, is as far as I'm aware, has not begun, but it is the next main sport that we want to start working on sims for. So should be one that I don't want to speak out of turn here, but it should be one that is not as difficult to get spun up. You know, it's a one-on-one sport. Not something, you know, something like football, 11 on 11 with all the different ways that a given play can play out, can be pretty hard to simulate. I think that's one of the more kind of sophisticated simulation engines that powers like a football sim. One-on-one sports, I think, are a little bit easier to do that with. Anyway, that's something that's on our radar. It will be one of the next sports that we sim. I'll be very excited to have Matt or Will or Eric or whoever on the models team is working on that back on office hours here in the near future to talk about our tennis sims once they're up. But that is soon. So and let's keep it going. Okay, so Clement had asked a question, and it looks like my man Shady Advice had responded to him here in Slack as well. But I want to touch on this on stream because I think it's a good question to hit every time it comes up. He said, is there a way you can show how to add randomness to every player for MLB? How do you come up with randomness for players, and what formula do you use? So our approach, and I actually really like the way Shady Advice answered this in Slack. So I'm going to read his first here too as well. He said, randomness is something traditional optimizers use to go from mean projections to some really shitty simulated game outcomes. Because SaberSim starts with game simulations and then summarizes them into mean projections, you don't need randomness at all. And that's true. The reason I like that response is because, I can't remember who this was. Maybe it was Brick on it was somebody on maybe or RBX on Neil Orfield's podcast, but traditional randomness on a traditional optimizer is actually a very, very bad simulation, right? What it does is it assumes a player has a normal distribution and then creates a bell curve around their mean outcome. And when you set randomness on a traditional tool, you're assuming that a guy like Salvi Perez has a normal distribution, which obviously he does not, right? That's the issue with randomness. The SaberSim approach is much better. What actually happens here, and I've touched on it many times, right, is that we take our game sims, our entire, we have thousands of game sims for each game on the slate, and we bucket them, right? So instead of just assuming a perfect bell curve for every player and then throwing a dart somewhere in that curve and saying that's what that guy scored in that individual game, we're actually pulling from real game outcomes and building lineups that are optimals for individual sets of game outcomes. So you don't need, there is no way to set randomness for an individual player with SaberSim, and you just frankly don't need to. It wouldn't really make sense with our approach. So the sim variance approach, pulling directly from our play-by-play sims, is a much more robust approach to building lineups that actually resemble real outcomes. So, but good question there. And Scott had asked a question, and he said, first off, congratulations on the win earlier this week. Thank you. He said, I've had my notification settings on for FanDuel and DK. I watched your video and double checked just to make sure. However, I'm not getting notifications, or at least not all of them. Sometimes they come through, but I have not received notifications for 3 scratches this past week. Honestly, Scott, I don't think I have either. And it wasn't until I saw your message that I realized I hadn't been seeing them. So that's not good, right? The reason I made those videos is we were kicking around an idea here about having some kind of like out player notifications on SaberSim. On that note, there is something to that effect coming in the near future. I won't spoil anything, but something to kind of let you know when you have out players on our app in your lineups, that's coming. But we were kicking around this idea of like actual push notifications from SaberSim if a player gets ruled out or things like that. Might still be an option for us, because our first goal here was to just send people in the direction of signing up for the site's notifications, which DraftKings and FanDuel apparently have. But I haven't gotten any this week either. In fact, I don't think I've gotten a notification recently about any scratches for players in my lineups. I don't know. Maybe they're not set up for baseball. Maybe they're set up only for basketball. I'm not sure. But I think this is on the sites. I would say for now, it's probably not sufficient to be completely trusting of just DraftKings and FanDuel to let you know when you have players that are out in your lineups. I would subscribe to the Underdog MLB and the Underdog NBA Twitter feeds, turn notifications on for that Twitter account, because they are very good with reporting scratches and things like that. Keep an eye on things otherwise. Make sure you swap when you get those notifications, but I would probably avoid being completely trusting that DraftKings and FanDuel are going to let you know if you have a player that's out in your lineups, because I haven't gotten those notifications this week either. A little discouraging there from the sites. Brad said, what did you hit? I had a good night on basketball on Tuesday night, 2 nights ago. FanDuel, the NBA slate, I took down, it was all low stakes. But I had the right lineup end up in the right spot on both the Dallas Phoenix showdown and the main slate. So my lineup that ended up like in a single entry and the 20 max and the 150 max at the low stakes, it was in all of those and it shipped like everything. So it was a pretty nice night for me. It was like a 30x ROI night, which I haven't had in a while and sorely needed on the FanDuel side of things, because the FanDuel bankroll was starting to dwindle a little bit. So was a nice hit there. Definitely needed there. But anyway, cool. That it offsets my performance here in the early slate for baseball because last time I checked, I was getting smoked. I played it for this early slate. I played like a pretty leveraged approach here. And I think like I have a ton of Adon. I think I have 100% Adon actually, and almost completely faded the Mets. And that wasn't working so good when I checked last. I do have a lot of A's, but they also all have Adon. I don't know what the scores are at the moment, but wasn't looking so good to start the slate off here today. But anyway, let's keep it going. Get through a couple other questions that are in Slack here, and then I'll hop over to the other YouTube chat questions. Mark asks a question here about something we're probably going to build out as a feature in the future. That one always trips me up. I find myself saying that a lot here on stream. Feature in the future. He said, can I build two 20 max lineups and then enter those 40 lineups in a 150 max DK contest? At the moment, there is no way in the entry editor to combine different sets of lineups from different builds into one and then enter them into the same contest. If you want to do something like this, you will have to get your hands dirty in the CSVs. It's very easy to do in the CSVs if you want to go that route. You just copy your whole lineups from one, paste it in. Copy your whole lineups from the other, paste that in, and you'd be good to go. Just can't do it in the entry editor. I will say a lot of times when people say they want to do this, it comes from like a, I want to lock Steven Matz in 50% of my lineups and fade him in the other 50%. And then the way people do that is they build 20 where they fade Matz and they build 20 where they lock him in or something like that. And I think if that's your goal here, you can accomplish that in a way that's just a lot easier and a lot simpler to manage just by doing this with the exposures, right? So you just take a guy like Matz and just set his exposure to exactly 50%, or even do that before the build, right? You don't even have to do that after the build. But I could be wrong here about what the intended use case was, but it seems like whenever this question comes in, it's always for that. And I think just remember that, you know, that's letting you have super precise surgical control over your exposures and what your lineups look like is our goal here. And I think you can do a lot of this stuff here. How funny is that? I got 50% Matz anyway in the build. But let's say you wanted to do that with Adon, for example, which I know I probably should have capped his exposure, right? Maybe you want exactly 50. You can, you know, set it there and get to that. So if your goal is to get like two sets of different lineups that are taking advantage of two very specific types of outcomes, I would check to see if you can accomplish that with the tools that are at your disposal in a single build, because I think it does just make your life a lot easier, especially when we start talking about things like late swapping. If you have to late swap, that can be kind of a beast to manage once you start doing that. And I think that's easier. But with that said, it is our goal in the future to... One thing we want to add is the ability to have a little bit more hands-on control over your lineup sets, and to combine lineup sets or to remove singular lineups or add lineups to lineup sets, that kind of thing. So that's something that is on the roadmap for us. So, all right, that gets us caught up through Slack so far. Let me scroll up and jump over to YouTube. Andrew says, can you explain to me how the Mets and Nats scored 11 runs in the first two innings and then went on to not score again? Hashtag RIP. I wish I could. I wish I could explain that to you. I don't know. I know I had, I was well loaded up on the Mets yesterday and was feeling good when the slate started. 3 runs, super early. Looking good, and then blanked the rest of the day. But that's baseball. Baseball's weird, man. There's nothing like it, and it's a fun sport. It's a unique sport. The sweat is so interesting because it honestly feels like anything can happen at any moment. Like there's nothing beyond the realm of possibility for a game of professional baseball being played. And I feel like for me personally, if you're ever holding on to first, there's no anxiety inducing sweat than being in first in a baseball contest and trying to hold on, because like there are, 30 point swings, right? If somebody's got the right 4 or 5 man stack, that goes off in the bottom of the ninth, like 30, 40 point swings are not out of the question. It's also one of the most exciting sweats if you are chasing, right? If you're close, if you've got that top 1% lineup, but it's not at the top, because you can cover so much ground so quickly. So it's interesting. It's a fun, really fun DFS sport. I think it's probably, for those of you that have watched this stream diligently over the course of, we did football and then basketball, and now we're talking baseball here. I feel like I say this at the start of every major sports season start, but I think baseball DFS remains my favorite. It's not my favorite sport to watch. That is forever reserved for basketball, but it is probably my favorite DFS sport. Just because it's so unique. But anyway, let's keep it going here. Neil said, random question. Any idea when the next swag packs will go out? I don't know. I can chat with Ross and see where we stand on that. I know those kind of get batched. So a lot of swag goes out all at the same time. I can touch base with him and see if we've gotten anything out recently. But I apologize for the delay if you've been waiting for it. So A Lake said, hey Jordan, I want to know what are your favorite area for sliders on a 3-4 MLB for 3-4 game MLB slate like today? I typically stick to the defaults. So when you open this up, right, you click the manual mode toggle, you can see these sliders. These are we spend a lot of time on these default values for where we put these for different size slates. They're back tested. The way we actually do this is that we'll test every single slider combination for all three sliders and compare them to past slates and contests that actually ran and come up with actual value. They're not even expected value calculations at that point. The sliders are set to where the most profitable lineups are built. So I stick pretty closely to the default sliders. I would probably say today I'm very likely to use the defaults. If we really, I wouldn't spend a ton of time trying to dial in here, but specifically for my strategies, on occasion, if I, especially on a big slate, if I am seeing that I'm relatively concentrated on one or two teams or a couple pitchers or something like that, I'll consider dialing up the Simbarian slider a little bit. Similarly, if I feel like I don't need to fade the chalk as aggressively as the builder is giving me on my first test build, I'll consider turning down the ownership fade slider just a tad. I almost never touch the correlation slider. I feel like that one's pretty well set, but overall I wouldn't sweat the sliders too much. We do spend a lot of time putting these at these default values. We really put a lot of stock in the defaults. I think if you have, however much time you have, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour to research and to dial in your lineups, you're going to find that you can get a lot more out of doing those adjustments to your exposures on step three and to your projections on step one and things like that, as opposed to trying to find the perfect sliders, just because we've done a lot of that heavy lifting for you already. So, but yeah, and that's true. Said targeting 20 max or 150 max. Yeah. So the sliders will update based on what you tell us you're playing regarding 20 or 150. So yeah. HC is always coming through with the scores when I don't know when I'm in my stream bubble here. Mets 3-0, Oakland 3-0. Good. Well, maybe good. I guess I Adon's probably dead. I'm probably dead for the early slate. That's okay. We'll be all right. We're on to the night slate. We're on to NBA. 12 packs that I could see that being useful for very different game outcomes. Yeah, it sounds probably talking about the different lineup sets thing. Yeah, I think so. If you wanted to take like two really dynamically different approaches to the slate and kind of jam them into your contest, I think that makes some sense. And it is, we do want to add that feature. So that's coming, but Matt said, regarding swag, I think some stuff's been on back order. I've been waiting for mine from the Super Bowl hit, and it sounds like some should be in soon. Gotcha. It sounds like you know more than I do about where we stand there. So, yeah. Supply chain issues, right? It's affecting everything. We can't even get our SaberSim hoodies on the trucks. So, all right. What else do we have here today? We're caught up on questions here. Don't see any other questions coming in. I will have to cut this one a little short here today. We've got about 15 more minutes. If anybody has anything else for me here, happy to stick around for another 15. While I'm waiting to see if any other questions trickle in, I will mention for anybody that has stumbled upon this stream or podcast, however you're watching or listening to this here, for the first time, we have a free 7-day trial. If any or all of what I've talked about here on stream has sounded interesting to you, come check us out, sabersim.com. You can check us out for a free 7 days. No strings attached. Won't charge your card if you don't like it. Hopefully you do. I always recommend people sign up for those trials towards the end of the week, especially this time of year, just because there's so much fun stuff to check out in the DFS streets over the weekend. We have baseball, obviously. We talked a lot of baseball today. Still have the NBA playoffs going on. Hockey playoffs, if that's your jam. But also another MMA card, another NASCAR race. No Formula One this weekend, unfortunately. But all kinds of stuff going on the weekend. And we have fully supported simulations for all of those sports. One of the best parts about simulations and one of the best parts about SaberSim is that it really meets you where you're at. If you are an expert in a sport and have been playing DFS in that sport for years, you will find that SaberSim will speed up the things that are annoying and you have to spend a ton of time to program a traditional optimizer to do, and it'll let you add value in all the other ways that you know how to. If you are brand new to a sport, I had never played a NASCAR DFS contest in my life before we put out Sims this year. It will start you off in a position where you can build positive EV lineups and allow you time to learn the sport and get familiar with the other components of how to do your research and how to do other things there. You don't need to know very much to get started with a new sport with SaberSim. And if you do know a lot, if you're an expert, you are unlocked to spend all your time adding that value. So definitely recommend checking us out if you haven't already. And if you have signed up for a trial in the past and canceled, we reset everybody's trial at the start of baseball. So you will have new trial access. So definitely recommend coming and trying it out here. I don't see any other questions coming in here. Neil said, hopefully that didn't come off as a complaint. Lol, I was sincere. He's just curious. I did not take it that way at all. So no worries there. Once a long time ago now, when I received my very first Winner Circle box, I was in the same boat. I was very excited to get my SaberSim shirt. I watched my Winner Circle get posted up on the website. So yes, I completely, Neil said, just excited. Lol, I completely understand. I have been there. HC said, I know I find myself playing golf and NASCAR now. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. There's a weekly cadence to DFS that is really satisfying, I think. I'm kind of a routine-based person. I'll shake it up. I like new experiences, but I like my routines. And there's a weekly cadence to DFS that's really nice, right? You get your... even for baseball, right? Monday, you get your Monday slate. Tuesday, big slate. Wednesday and Thursday, typically you get day slates. That's why I was upset today. I didn't have my big day slate for Thursday. Big slate on Friday. Then you come around to the weekend. You've got, well, first of all, golf on Thursday, right? So you got the golf tournament on Thursday. You got MMA on Saturday, along with typically, you know, NBA or baseball still too. Then Sunday, we got the NASCAR race. Might have a NASCAR race on Saturday too, if you're lucky. Formula One on Saturday, right? Don't even get me started about football. Football has the best, probably the best week-to-week DFS cadence of any sport. That's the best. Sunday, I don't even have to talk about Sunday, but then you get the Monday night football, a break Tuesday, Wednesday, but by Wednesday, you got projections coming out, you got ownership projections coming out, you're already looking ahead to the week. Thursday night football, it's fun. At least as long as it's not like a early December Giants and Jaguars Thursday night football or something, right? Those start to get a little tedious, but I'm excited for football season. I'm very excited. So Neil said, I'm going to jump into those sports for the first time HCMMA2. Helps that I have a bit of bankroll now to expand. Yeah, definitely. Beautiful sounds of nature says I'm a big fan of LOL and CSGO. Yeah, I need to dip my feet into the esports scene a little bit more. We've supported those sports for a long time. Will obviously is a Counter-Strike DFS crusher. Very, very good Counter-Strike DFS player, and built the whole simulations here. But we recently made improvements earlier this year. So basically the way that these slates worked on our app was that we would use the projections from the sims, but otherwise you were just using SaberSim as a traditional optimizer. Esports now fully featured within the sims. So that's why we have all this data here. And when you build it, actually same way it does for other sports, it pulls from actual individual simulated outcomes of these sports. So big opportunity to get an edge there as well. Two other, you know, pretty high variance, very high correlation sports. League of Legends correlations in particular, if we can get these to pull up, let's maybe back up to like a different slate here. Very, very high correlations, right? Like these are crazy. 0.82, 0.81, 0.8, 0.76, crazy high correlation. So high correlation sport, another sport where there's just a big, big edge in using sims. I want to dive back in a little bit more. It's been a hard one for me to find time for, to just remember. I missed a couple locks for League of Legends. It's a hard one for me to get into the flow of, but they're fun. And I love watching professional league too. Big fan of that. MSI is ongoing at the moment. So anyway, I think we'll go ahead and cap it off there. It's been fun chatting here a little bit towards the end of the stream. Don't see any other questions coming in here today. So we'll go ahead and leave it there. We'll jump back here tomorrow, same time, cap off the week, 2 p.m. Eastern. Thanks everybody that tuned in today. Good luck. Whatever you're playing tonight, 3-game baseball slate, NBA showdown, NBA main slate, and I will see you guys all here again tomorrow. Until then, take care.